bright September day, with you in the yard, with your wife and children, working on some stage in L.A. Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walk from the rubble? Sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue? The heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer? Look at yourself and what really matters.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Alan Jackson wrote a beautiful song, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?" This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. The format of this show is typically I bring in guests who talk a lot about their businesses, or perhaps it's someone from the chamber talking about an upcoming event. And I thought today on this 9/11, on the 25th anniversary, it dawned on me that I might be able to share with some of the listeners just some insights, perhaps, of my experience on that day. And hopefully for those who remember, who were alive and present and understood the ramifications of what was happening, it might be helpful to hear a few things that I have to share. I always try to be honest with my listeners. I always try to, I like to bring humor to a lot. Y'all know I like to laugh. And on this day, I have to confess that for whatever reason, this year, this anniversary is hitting me a lot harder than it has in the past. I'm not exactly sure why, but something about 25 years, it's hard for me to get my mind around that this happened back on September 11th, 2001. The reason that I thought about, everyone knows where they were if you were alive at that time. I find it quite extraordinary as they come out with the numbers. Last night, I watched a documentary on Netflix, which I would highly recommend. It's Generation 9/11, and it's all about the generation that missed this. Believe it or not, there are people who were born in 2000, who weren't even thought of in 2000, born in 2001, who are now 24, 25, 26 years old, who were not even aware of what had happened. And for them, this documentary talks about, for them, this was my parents, was Pearl Harbor. I can remember my father talking about Pearl Harbor and the attack on the United States. And during that time, prior to World War II and our involvement, we had taken as a country a pretty much an isolationist stance. And so from my understanding of history, that was the turning point when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. That was the beginning of that was when people started signing up and said, we are going to protect our country. Well, fast forward then to 2001, and the World Trade Center had been attacked before, so this wasn't the first time. I was in New York City. Many of y'all know, I'm a girl from Atlanta. I went to University of Georgia. When I graduated a year later, I moved up to New York City to become an actress. That was my dream. And so I was living, you know, the actress bohemian life in the Village and waiting on tables and all that kind of thing and going on auditions. But in 1993, I do remember very clearly when that happened. And it was a van that was parked. In fact, it was a surplus order van for the Windows on the World, which was the beautiful restaurant atop the World Trade Center and on top of the North Tower on the 107th floor. And so they parked it underneath in the garage. And I think the theory was that if they could take out the structure, the foundation of the tower, it would topple. But when the bomb went off, there were six people killed, but there were hundreds of people that were injured because people don't realize that underneath the World Trade Center, there were the subway stations as well as a promenade and shopping mall, which was huge. So a lot of damage was done and then a lot of precautions were taken. But I don't think at that time that anyone could have imagined that 8 years later, the attacks would happen. I think I felt as an American so safe, so protected. Never dawned on me that there was any way anyone could attack us on our own land. So the idea of Pearl Harbor, even with that, it was in Hawaii. It wasn't, you know, it didn't seem like it was close in that respect. But here I was in New York City at the time, and I thought I would share with you a little bit about my experiences, because for me, I was not there during 9/11. I had moved down to Panama City in 2000. So I had just left the city after being there 15 years. But I wanted to share with you, because I always was impressed. Remember, the very first time I ever went in the building was when I was auditioning. I had an audition, and they said, you got to go to the World Trade Center, and they gave me the number, and they said, you know, good luck. So I took the subway, and I got out of the subway, and I was lost. I had no idea, and I'm not sure if even people today can understand the enormity of the World Trade Center. Y'all, it was a architectural phenomenon, because it was so big. It covered 50,000 square feet. That was the size of the World Trade Center. The windows on the World Restaurant alone was 50,000 square feet. So my first challenge was to get from the subway station up to the main lobby. When I got to the main lobby, I thought, oh my gosh, look at this. I looked, and they had these Gothic windows from floor to ceiling. But the thing was, the lobby was 5 stories high. Think about that for a second. I was thinking about that. I was driving downtown yesterday, and I thought, okay, most of these buildings are 2 or 3 stories high. Just the lobby of the World Trade Center was 5 stories high. So I had to go to the front desk, and they had this humongous concierge desk. They had escalators that went up 4 floors. And I'm looking at this guy, said, I've got this address. I don't even know how to get to this office. So he was very nice, and he said, and I found out that day there were 189 elevators in the World Trade Center, in the two towers, 189 elevators. And there was a whole elevator system, because when you had that many floors, there were 110 floors in both the buildings. So they had express elevators, and then they had local elevators. So you could take the express to the 43rd floor, and there was a restaurant there. And that restaurant was typically supposed to be for the people working in the building. And then you could take an express right up to the world, to the windows on the world. They also had a point to get off at the 83rd floor. So it was just this whole elaborate experience of just trying to get to the audition. And I'll never forget how intimidated I was and how amazed I was at the size of this incredible place. So I did that. That was one experience with the World Trade Center that I had. And then I had gone back, and I was amazed when I was there, because they had that signage. You know, back in the day, they used to put the sign. They had a big sign up in the lobby of all the businesses. There were thousands of businesses in both of those buildings. But the thing that people forget, they were from all over the world. I mean, we certainly know about Cantor Fitzgerald, and we know some of the many American businesses that were devastated by what happened. But to know that there was Spanish and Japanese and Indian and South African, I mean, people from all over the world were in that, were had offices, because it was considered the World Trade Center. That was what it was all about. So it was sort of amazing to me to go into that building and to realize just the enormity of it. And to think about all the different things and people that were there. On a typical day, they said that on that particular day, the fact that the flights were early may have saved a lot of lives, because at that time they believed there were about 20,000 people that escaped from the building. And so normally on a normal day, there would be 50,000 within the two buildings. On a typical day, you had the 50,000 workers, and then they estimated 40,000 people would come and go from the building throughout a typical work day. So the fact that they hit early in the day may have saved some lives. And there was a lot of stories that I've heard over the years about the elevators, which has intrigued me. 200 people did pass in the elevators, because as soon as the planes hit, the impact caused the doors to shut. But I wanted to talk today, too, about some of the miracles of the day. We all know the numbers. I could sit and repeat all the numbers to you. But I wanted to share with you some of the things that I think were important to remember about who we are as people, that we all have this element of kindness in us. And it was more on display in that day. And I know in the morning show was talking about, they've been talking a little bit about the day after on September 12th, how America came together and united. But there was a lot of that happening on the day of as well. And so one of the things that I remember, there was the story of one of the elevators had gotten locked. The door was locked. And there was a cleaning guy in there with his cleaning thing. And he had a squeegee. He was a window washer. And apparently, this is a very famous story, took his squeegee and pried open the elevator door. And that enabled all the people on the elevator to be able to get out. And by the way, those elevators, some of them could hold 100 people. So it was no little thing that he had saved all those lives just by using the squeegee and being innovative. So I'm going to come back with a few more of those miracle stories of the day. And if you, of course, have something you'd like to share, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Today is September 11th, 2026, as we honor those who gave their lives, the firefighters, the first responders, the people who work there, the people who tried to help, all of the people at the World Trade Center, and, of course, those at the Pentagon, and also in Shanks with the people in Pennsylvania from Flight 93. So we'll come back with Pep Talk in just a couple minutes as we honor September 11th right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, as we talk about 9/11 being the 25th anniversary today. So many people are alive today that never were alive at that time. Over 100,000 people have never experienced what it means to have survived something like that. So I wanted to talk a bit, well, most of us know the gruesome stories. We've seen the horrible videos, and we hear of all the negative things that happened on that day. But I thought it might be a little bit different take to talk about the miracles of that day. And one of those miracles, I talked about the elevator, the window washer guy who saved the people in the elevator. There are probably thousands of stories of little miracles that happened. People helped people. One of my favorites, when you think about when the planes hit, the elevators eventually could not be used. So people had to start going down the stairs. And then it was extraordinary that people actually went down the stairs. They didn't panic. They didn't push and shove. They were very careful, and they all made room for the firefighters who were climbing up the stairs to get to the fire. But one of the stories that really touched me was there was a woman who was in a wheelchair, and I believe she was on the 87th floor, and she was in a wheelchair, and so she was not going to be able to go down the stairs to escape. And so there were two men there who saw her, and they were not going to leave her behind. And so what they did was they found a lightweight chair, they took her out of the wheelchair, and they put her in the chair, and they carried her 86 floors down, and they got her all the way out of the World Trade Center safely. And then what happened was they put her in an ambulance, and then the next thing they saw was when the building towers crashed down and the ambulance was engulfed by the debris. And so they thought that she had ultimately passed. So the good news was that not too long after that, they did discover that she had lived, and they had become friends over the years. And one of the guys actually got married, and she attended the wedding. She attended his wedding, and in her wheelchair, by the way. But it just little stories like that. The other one that I think was pretty amazing when you talk about the wheelchair story, the other one is there is a woman who actually, there were 18 people who survived the actual towers falling. One of them, he has a nickname of being called the Surfer, because when they found him, he was standing on top of a beam, on top of the rubble. When they first saw him, they thought he was one of the rescuers. They thought he was somebody in the rubble trying to rescue people. But as it turned out, he had actually been in the tower. Now, he said for years, they said he surfed his way down, but that was not true. He recently had an interview where he talked about it and said he was standing there and suddenly the floor was gone. And he said, I just fell and fell and fell and fell and then landed. And he thought, I said, I made my peace with God, and I thought it was all over. And as it turned out, there I was standing on top of the rubble, and he could see the sky. And he said it was one of the most incredible moments, of course, of his life. But the other story that I think is worth mentioning that has really touched me as well is the last person. There were 18 people pulled from the rubble, and the last person to be pulled was a woman named Janelle Guzman McMillan. She was the last survivor pulled alive from World Trade Center after 9/11. And she wrote a book, and the book is called Angel in the Rubble, and it tells her story. This woman was in the rubble underneath cement for 27 hours before she was found. And in her story, she talks about what it took to survive that. And the thing that's really unique about the story, and I haven't read it yet, but the story states that she actually had a friend with her named Paul, and she was obviously delirious, probably dehydrated, but she was having conversations with this person, Paul, who kept her awake and alive for 27 hours, only to learn later that there was no physical person named Paul with her. They just made a movie of this starring Sherry Weeks that's coming out today, Angel in the Rubble. It is the story of Janelle Guzman McMillan. She went on to have an amazing life with him, married and with children, and there's a photo of her, and she's just a beautiful woman, and it's just an inspiring story about how the emergency workers kept going days and days and days after the fall of the towers with the hope that they would find someone. And sure enough, they did find Janelle. So that's just another one of the many miraculous stories that we hear about affiliated with 9/11. But I think the thing for most of us to remember is that people were kind to each other that day. And on September 12th, our country came together in a way that still fills my heart with such pride and joy, because I love America, I love this country, and I love when we can look at each other as Americans and be together. And it's just this whole incident really brought all of us together. And I think one of the things on that day especially was the kindness people showed. I remember I was trying to find out about some friends who were up there and getting in touch with people. A lot of people were affected. My brother was actually flying to New York City that day. He used to travel all over the world. And so I knew he was on an airplane, and I was really, really concerned about him for quite some time that day, wondering if he was okay. And eventually he called me that evening, probably around 7 o'clock, and said that they had been grounded, of course, and that he was in some town in New York, not New York City, but another town in upstate New York. So he was there for several days, like so many others who were grounded that day. It affected so many of us in so many ways, and I think it's so important that we continue to remember, that we continue to honor those firefighters. We lost over 350 firefighters and first responders that day, and I have a special love for New York firemen myself. One, because a neighborhood cat was rescued one day by a fireman. The other is because every doggone fireman, I want you to know, in New York City is so good looking. Irish guys, they have those uniforms, and they always had a smile for you. And I'll never forget, I used to work in a restaurant, the Blue Note Jazz Cafe, and I was a server there. And every Friday, once a month, a group of firefighters came in from one of the downtown stations, and they would come in to hear a jazz concert. And I would get to wait on them. And they were very flirtatious, very fun. And I remember they tipped well, and that's why I liked them so much. And so on 9/11, I thought about them, and I wondered, did they make it? I don't know. So we were all touched in so many different personal ways. But it's a day that, for me, I still to this day, well, as you can hear, my voice holds a very special place in my heart. I'm so grateful for the people that made the difference and helped people survive. But I think the enormity sometimes is lost, because I still to this day, those buildings were so huge and the lobby was so big. And when I think about how did these people survive, how did people make it? One of the other little miracles was there was a church that's right by the World Trade Center, and that was the church that they used as a meeting place. Well, as the towers came down, one of the trees fell, and it would have fallen right on the church and destroyed it, but this other tree got in the way, and the church was spared, and they were able to use that as a point of getting together, and it was an operating station for quite some time. So lots and lots of miracles to look at. I think as we go through the day, I always say to you, try to choose the positive things, choose joy. We can always find the negative, but even on this day, one of the worst days ever, there were things that happened that were incredible miracles. And I think we have to keep looking for the miracles. So I'm going to come back in just a minute. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel. Be back in just a minute. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel. My name is Meg, and talking a little bit about the experience of September 11th as we honor those who gave their lives on that day 25 years ago. So I was thinking, too, about how important it is that we remember all of those who gave their lives and all of those that survived. But one of the things, too, that I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning was the American spirit. And it was pretty extraordinary those days after, weeks and months, where we actually had an opportunity to come together and support each other. So with that, I'm going to leave you with the thought again that I always do: be kind to others, Be gentle with yourself. Love now. I say all those things because that's all we've got today. So remember, as you go through today, we have so much to be grateful for in this country and so many things that we can do to make a positive difference for someone just that comes in contact with you today.